for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me and for all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thanks, Jafang. Do keep that passage open. Let's pray as we come to look particularly at verse 4 together this morning. Father, thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that you are still breathing out your written word through your spirit for us, for our good. And we pray that we would hear your voice in each of our hearts this morning. Please, would the truths that we're going to look at change us, change what we think, change our trust in you. Ask this in your name. Amen. Have you ever had the experience of being in utter darkness? I think I put the first slide just as black, try and illustrate it, but it's not that that effective, is it? But I remember once, as a family, we were on holiday in Southern Ireland, in County Clare, and we got the chance to go to some amazing caves called the Caves of Aylwee. And the guide led us in about a mile. So we were a mile underground in these caves. And then for 30 seconds, they switched off all the lights. And it was just complete, no glimmer of light anywhere. You could put your hand this close to your eyes and you could not see a thing. Utter darkness. And even though I knew I was safe because we had an experienced guide, although we couldn't understand what he was saying most of the time because his accent was so strong, but I knew he could get us out if there was trouble. And there was a group of about 30 of us, so I wasn't alone. Even though I knew theoretically we were safe, that experience of being plunged into utter darkness, I could feel my heart rate rising. I could feel, I'm having to sort of fight feeling panicked here. To be in utter darkness is actually really scary. To be in utter darkness, you feel really vulnerable. You feel unsafe. And that's why darkness is such a good picture throughout Scripture. For those times when life, our normal life, seems to be under threat. Where there seems to be no light. Where life just seems bleak and hard. And in Psalm 23... we'd call that in verse 4, the darkest valley. That's what we're going to look at this morning, verse 4 particularly. For some of you here this morning, you might be in a darkest valley in your life at the moment, in a situation not of your own choosing, where every step just feels hard. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. Well, if that's you this morning, then Psalm 23 is God's word to you today for your comfort and your strength. But I guess for some of us here, perhaps we've never had that experience yet in life. But I say yet because there will be some point in your life experience when you will face a dark valley. And for all of us, there'll come a time when we face the darkest valley, which is the shadow of death. And so the truths of God's word here are for us today to equip us, to get us ready for when that time comes in our own life. Before we dig in, let's just take a step back again and remember where we are in Scripture here. So this is a psalm, a song, a poem written by King David 1,000 years before Christ. And we don't know if this psalm was written because of a particular instance or situation in David's life. But we know that God the Spirit breathed out these words through the pen of David for our good. We saw last week, didn't we, that this psalm has three central images to do with our relationship with God. So last week we looked at verse 1 to 3, and we saw particularly that he is the shepherd and we are his sheep. Next week, as we finish it off in verses 5 and 6, we're going to see that God is our generous host and we are his guests. But today, as we focus in on verse 4, the image is more of us being travellers through life, and God being our companion. And yet we haven't left completely behind this image of the Lord being our shepherd and we being his sheep. He's still there guiding us as shepherd. We as his sheep are still following him. Remember, Jesus declared, didn't he, "I am the good shepherd." So we see him fulfilling that role for us in this psalm. We see him to be the Lord. So this morning we're going to see two things together. We're going to have a surprise and a comfort. A surprise and a comfort. Here's the surprise. The surprise is where your shepherd guides you. We left a psalm last week in verse 3 where we saw that our good shepherd Jesus guides us by his word and his spirit along the right paths for his glory. That way of living in obedience to his word that proves the goodness of his wisdom. And then the surprise is that the right path will sometimes include, verse 4, walking through the darkest valley. Verse 4 isn't about us wandering away and getting ourselves into a dark mess and our shepherd having to come and find us and get us out of trouble. No, as we walk the life of faith following Jesus, sometimes that journey will take us through deep and dark valleys. And they're not a mistake. It's not that Jesus has stopped being our shepherd, guiding us along the right paths. He hasn't got lost. He's not made a wrong turn and somehow got us both into trouble. No, sometimes his guiding us in the right paths will mean leading us through the darkest valleys. I want you to try and picture this dark valley. In the geography of ancient Israel, there are deep ravines. Did I put a picture on the next slide? I think I did, didn't I? Yeah, thank you, Ilse, yeah. So in the geography of ancient Israel, there are deep ravines. You can't even see the bottom of that one there, can you? They're so deep that no sunlight can penetrate to the lower levels. They're like deep fissures in the landscape. You can still go and visit them now. Perhaps some of you have been on a tour to Israel and you've been taken down one. Here's how one 20th century traveller described them. At the bottom, the water foams and roars, torn by jagged rocks. The path plunges downwards into a deep and narrow gorge of sheer precipices, overhung by frowning sphinx-like battlements of rocks, which almost touch overhead. Its side walls rise like the stone walls of a great cathedral. In fact, in 1957, there was a group of French tourists who were trekking through one such deep valley when there was a flash flood and 50 of them were killed. So I don't want you to, when you hear this word, darkest valley, I don't want you to picture, you know, a British valley, which is often very scenic and pretty, you know, wide and green. But you need to picture a dark, deep, narrow valley. What situations might be described as such a dark valley in our lives? Well, sometimes what we call the dark times of our lives. Those times, those situations of deep sorrow or distress. Times when we feel that our normal way of life is under threat, where there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel or the valley, where we feel maybe we're just stumbling, hardly keeping going, one day at a time. And of course, the phrase here in verse 4 could also imply facing death itself. Perhaps some of you have got a different translation, or you can look in the footnote in our church Bibles. It says that this verse can be translated as the valley of the shadow of death. I was thinking about those times when death impinges upon us. It could be a brush with our own mortality. Maybe we get diagnosed with a serious illness, or we're in a serious accident. Or it could be when the death of a loved one casts its shadow across our lives. It certainly does refer to the day when each of us will face, when it's our own time to walk through death. A shadow is a really powerful image, isn't it? Because when you lose someone you love, it's as if someone's hidden the sun from you. And everything just seems tainted with that dark sadness of loss. But one word here in verse 4 helps us at this point. Look at verse 4 again. Through. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Despite what it might feel like when you're in that valley, you are being led onwards. We are traveling through. We're not stuck. It's not the end destination. There is a destination that we're being led towards. And if we sneak forward into verse 5 and 6, which we'll look at next week, we see that destination is a feast with our God forever. The valley isn't the end destination, but something to pass through on the journey. And our good shepherd is guiding us through the valley. His providential care for us means that even when we experience life in its darkest moments, his ultimate good is still being worked out in our hearts and lives. Now that can seem to be a bit of a mystery to us. And when we struggle to understand how God's providence could, his plans could even be worked out through leading us through the darkest valley, then we need to look at the cross of Jesus, where we see it most supremely, that mysterious but good providence of God towards his own people. Like the way Peter put it in that his sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, this man Jesus was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. The cross of Christ was God's plan. But Peter also said, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. For our good and his good, God's plan took Jesus to the darkest valley, bearing God's wrath against our sin on himself on the cross. But it was God's plan for our good, and ultimately, Jesus is good, as he now rejoices to call us his own brothers and sisters. So it might be a bit of surprise that the good shepherd guides us into and definitely through the darkest valleys. How can that truth help us? Well, firstly, I think it helps us to think differently about the valley times in our lives. You know, people around us who do not know the Good Shepherd see these dark valleys as interrupting their lives. They see them as disasters. You know, stopping me get what I want out of my life. People around us who do not know the Good Shepherd can't cope when they're not in control. They're never in control of their lives, but they think they are. They have no answers for the dark valleys. But when we're following our Good Shepherd Jesus, the very same valleys are not outside of his control. The dark valleys don't mean that he stopped caring for you. They don't mean that he's weak and powerless and ineffectual. Knowing that he is guiding us through can change the way that we view them. But secondly, this truth can help us be prepared in advance for when we are led into the deepest valley, and especially for that time when we will each face the darkest valley of death. When we know that even there, Jesus is guiding us on towards our glorious destination, it means we can face it differently. Sure, we don't anticipate it with joy, whoopee, particularly the process and what that might involve. But ultimately, we know that we are still in the loving grip of our good Saviour Shepherd. I wonder, how prepared are you for the dark valleys that you might experience or face? Hone in on these truths that we're going to look at today in Psalm 23, so that when you are in the valley, the truths have got you ready. They prepared your heart to orientate you when you're in the valley. And thirdly, knowing that Jesus guides us through the valley, surely that's an encouragement for each of us to strain when we're in the valley, to strain to see the end destination, to trust that God is working all things for the good of those who love him, even through the dark valleys. Use the dark times to anticipate the brightness of the glorious light to come. Because our shepherd guides us into and through the darkest valleys. That's a bit of a surprise, secondly this morning, the comfort. Because verse 4 gives us great truths to hold on to. The comfort is this. Comfort is found in where your shepherd is in the darkest valley. Look at verse 4 again. You are with me. Your good shepherd is right beside you through the darkest valley. He is your companion through that journey. And we need to cling on to that truth, because often when we experience a dark time in our life, our automatic presumption is that we've done something wrong. The evil one loves to whisper those voices, you know, oh, God's just punishing you, that's why you're experiencing this. Or God's abandoned you, he's left you in this hard time, as if somehow God's only with us in the good times. Or the evil one wants to get you to think that somehow God is weak or powerless or defeated, that something's happening to you that's outside of his control. This verse tells us powerfully, he actually is our close companion through the darkest valley. Now that doesn't mean that we minimize the reality of the darkness, that somehow we, oh, I'll pretend it's lighter than it really is, that it's easier, that it's painless. Darkness throughout Scripture is a picture of creation being reversed. In the beginning, God spoke and brought light and order out of chaotic darkness. So when we experience dark times in our lives, it is life out of kilter, life not as God intended it to be originally, life in this fallen world that is under his curse. But verse 4 tells us that he is with us in the valley. But his presence doesn't make the valley suddenly become the green pasture that we walked through beforehand in verse 1. A godly response to life's dark valleys is not a British stiff upper lip or some sort of stoicism. We don't minimize the darkness. But at the same time, his presence really is with you in the valley. Notice again how personal this psalm is. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 4, you are with me. The Lord is your shepherd. Remember again that covenant name of God, a name that speaks of his never giving up, completely committed love. A name that tells us he doesn't run away from you when life gets tough and dark. And again, one of the tactics of the evil one when you're in the valley is to plant that doubt that God loves you anymore in your minds. You know, if God did love you, then you wouldn't be in this valley, is what the evil one wants to say to you. Or again, this valley is punishment. He's discovered what you really are like, so he can't love you anymore. No, those are lies. The truth of the good news is that we are unlovely. You know, we are made dirty and ruined by our own sin and failures. But in his love, he came to deal with the stain of sin. And so when you follow Jesus as your Savior shepherd, that dirt of sin has been washed away by his blood on the cross. He paid that penalty by his own death for you. That means that we can be confident that even when we are in the deepest, darkest valley, even when we're facing ongoing battles with our sin in the valley, he doesn't abandon us. His love, his committed covenant love, means he sticks close to you in the dark. He is that constant companion. And that's why David could declare, even in the depth of the valley, what he does here in verse 4, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. If you notice, there are three great affirmations of faith in this psalm, and each one with its own image. So last week we saw in verse 1 that the affirmation of faith, because you are my shepherd, I lack nothing. And then next week we'll see one in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But here in verse 4, the great affirmation of faith is, I will fear no evil. Because Jesus is with you, even in the darkest valley of life, even in death itself, he is with you. So we too can sing with David, I will fear no evil. There seems to be three things that David hones in on to do with his shepherd here that brings him that comfort. Three things in this verse and image that means it can be true for us. And they're to do again with who Jesus is and what he does. Let's go to the first one, which is, that, again, going back to that image of Jesus as shepherd leading us through this dark valley. Our shepherd is a strong warrior. We need to get rid of the English picture of a pastoral shepherd, you know, with his sheepdog, often an elderly man smoking a pipe, you know, in his tweeds ambling along. No, shepherds in David's day were tough fighters. One of my favourite Old Testament Bible teachers is a man called Dale Ralph Davis. And I love the way that he describes Jesus as our shepherd when he's writing on Psalm 23. I think I put it on the screen. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, is no emaciated weakling. Our shepherd is a warrior. A shepherd's had to be. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. The muscles of his arms are flexed to defend his flock. He doesn't carry a club for nothing. He is obviously enough for whatever the valley throws at us. This is who is with you in your darkest times. This is the one who's with you through even the darkest valley of the shadow of death. So we can say, I will fear no evil, because you, this warrior, strong shepherd, are with me. And David seems to find great strength in seeing what this warrior shepherd carries, in what he does with what he carries. How does the verse go on? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about them separately. Let's think about the rod, first of all. You know, again, the rod isn't a nice walking stick that, you know, you take for an amble in the countryside. It's a weapon hitting wild animals that attack, or thieves who might want to rob you. It was very likely a wooden club with bits of iron embedded in it. Think what damage that could do if you've wielded that with force. It's what David used to fight off lions and bears from his family's flocks when he was a shepherd. It's why in the Bible the rod is a picture of God's strength in defeating his enemies. Psalm 2, that messianic psalm that points us through to Jesus being God's chosen king who will smite the nations who oppose God. And how will he do that? With a rod of iron. That's what our good shepherd Jesus is carrying. It means that Jesus being with us in the dark valley isn't just a nice fluffy feeling, he's with me, but he's active and strong to protect you from the dangers of the evil one in that valley. It means that nothing is going to overpower him and take you away from him. When Jesus was talking about him being the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he went on to say this: my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's no one more powerful than God. What a picture of total eternal security. Even as we walk through death, nothing can snatch us from his hand. He is this strong warrior shepherd. What eternal security that gives us. It's why we as Christians can die differently. You know, when I had cancer 14 years ago, these truths meant I didn't fear, even when I was in the dark valley of surgery and feeling really ill and sorry for myself. But I didn't fear because I knew my strong shepherd was walking through this valley with me. And over the many years that I've been a pastor, I've had the privilege to walk through that valley of the shadow of death with a number of dear brothers and sisters. Even in physical pain, these truths give real strength and comfort that change the way that we can die as those who know him. I wonder if there's any situations that you currently face where you need to bring this truth of your warrior shepherd with a rod in his hand. in your dark valley, your shepherd is with you. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand. But Jesus, our good shepherd, also carries a staff. That was a longer stick with a hook on the end. It was used to guide sheep along the right paths. It was used to pull a sheep that was beginning to stray away from the shepherd. You know, you hook it round and pull the sheep back into the flock. Our shepherd carries such an implement with him as he accompanies us through the darkest valley. We don't need to fear wandering away from him in the dark. How does that staff work for us? Well, his word acts as that staff, pulling us back to him if we begin to stray. And often that word will come to us through his own people. If in the dark valley our natural reaction is to rebel and sin, maybe look for a different saviour who can get us out of the darkness, he graciously allows us to hear his word, pulling us back in. It might be through a Sunday sermon, it might be in a daily reading, it might be a fellow church member who loves you, who brings you that word of warning and correction, calling you back to the shepherd. How do you react when the shepherd is using his staff on you? It can be a bit hard and difficult. Will you take umbrage and change churches? Will you walk away? No, in love, he uses his staff to draw you back to him, to be safe in his presence, close to him, as you walk through that valley and beyond. Perhaps for some of us this morning, Jesus is using his staff, the staff of his word, on you today. Perhaps in your heart you've been wandering from him, some sin that you're giving yourself over to and over to again, some other thing that you're letting captivate your heart above him or some other person. I wonder this morning, will you stop resisting and let the staff of his word draw you close back to your shepherd? What effect does the shepherd's rod and the staff have on David? How does knowing who your shepherd is and what he does affect you? Look at what David says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, culture comfort changes its meaning slightly. We think of sitting with our feet up on a comfy chair with our slippers, or you know, a nice breakaway at a spa. Oh, comfort. No, comfort is literally giving strength. Knowing Jesus as shepherd, knowing Jesus as your strong warrior companion through the darkest valley, even through death, gives you the strength to keep on traveling with him. Knowing he is armed to protect you and committed to keeping you close to him and comfort you, and that it gives you strength to carry on in the midst of that darkest valley. Till that time comes when you leave the valley behind. That might be a change in the circumstances. It might be entering into that heavenly rest. Either way, your good shepherd is with you. So do not fear evil. Let his close presence and his weapons and tools give you fresh strength. Keep on traveling with him through this life and on to the next. When Jesus is your shepherd, you too can sing, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Let's pray together. Give you a moment's quiet just to reflect. There's something particularly that Spirit has spoken to you through his word, a chance to turn that into confession or praise, prayer. Moment's quiet to do that. Jesus, thank you that you are our close companion, our mighty warrior shepherd. Thank you because of your committed covenant, never giving up love. We can know you as our companion, leading us through the dark valleys of this life, the dark valley of death, bringing us safely to that heavenly feast. Help us to trust you, to stay close to you, to look to you, even in the darkness. We ask this in your name. Amen. Each of these 3 weeks that we're looking in Psalm 23, we're responding by singing a different version of the psalm. So please stand, and we're going to sing Psalm 23.